All right, we got a large contingent to get to today, and no better person to lead us off with all that has been happening. Elaine Gross, racism, you know, the organization and everything else that she stands for. She's been on numerous times tackling so much, housing discrimination, and so much more. It's a pleasure to have you here on a Monday. Elaine, a very good morning to you on a very, I'll tell you, this is a tough day to kind of unravel, but we got to attack it like we always do, and it's great to have you here.
Good morning, Jay. It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Tough weekend. You know, what can you say? You know, you watch all this stuff. It seems like a tale of two cities. You know, during the day, you have protests going on in a somewhat, you know, not only a relevant, safe, kind of the right thing to do manner, and then all of a sudden, when the sun sets, look out. This was a tough, tough weekend in America for as long as, you know, I can remember. And I was talking to people all over the weekend. This is a very tough time in our country right now, something I haven't seen.
It is certainly very disturbing. It's upsetting to all of us. I want people to understand that the you know, the Minnesota government, the governor, the mayors, etc., they have a responsibility to deal with this violence. But I want people to understand the terrible anger and hurt and just despair that a lot of people, black people certainly, but others, are feeling as a result of the killing of George Floyd. And it is, and you mentioned it, you know, there are all these people across the country that are peacefully demonstrating, and they are expecting some leadership from people in elected office, high office, and, you know, we haven't gotten it. And that is disturbing. I guess I heard you say that you would have expected, and, you know, it would have been good to hear from the president. And I think theoretically that's true, but unfortunately what we hear from this president only stokes the fires. And so I would personally, I just as soon have him be silent because he never seems to be able to offer anything that is constructive. And that in this time of crisis in particular, better silence than what he usually puts out. But this is a part of what is going on is something that we've talked about before, Jay, which is the kind of ongoing, unaddressed structural racism that perpetuates a level of inequity and, you know, lack of justice. There is no justice. If you're black, your life has no value. And this is, you know, it comes up periodically. It comes up in different places around the country, but it is, and sometimes that's the only thing that people see, is the, you know, the high visibility incident or something like that. But the truth of the matter is, this is ongoing. It's an impact on the disparities related to the COVID-19. Infections and death rates. It's related to our the inequity in our public school education systems, our health systems, our being able to go and rent or purchase homes. All of these reflect this very embedded problem of structural racism. Where, you know, it goes back to slavery and it continues yesterday. You know, it is the whole span just compounding the problems and making it more and more difficult for people to be patient. The patience is running out, and the problems become even more difficult the longer they go unaddressed.
No question. Lynn Gross still with us. You know, when I said, you know, some sort of a statement, you know, listen, Trump, we know what Trump does and says and whatnot. You know, it part of the problem, and I was thinking about this over the weekend as well. I did a lot of thinking over the weekend. But, you know, it's the polarization of our country right now as far as a political affiliation, which has created such divide, you know, and this is a situation which should not have any type of political sides to take. You know, it's a situation where you need all sides to kind of come together as
Absolutely.
One. And that's part of our problem here as far as what we have seen over the last couple of years. You know, it just keeps getting, the gap just keeps widening, and we keep bickering, and we play this political football on all fronts. And that's part of the issue here. And our media also kind of plays this game as far as the polarization and the divide and whatnot. And that's why I think our country is in such disarray as I've ever seen. I'm doing this a long time. I have never seen it like this. And for this to heal, for this situation to heal, we have to be in unison here. And I just don't think we could get to that point, to for that starting point, at least, Elaine.
Mm. Well, it is. It's hard to know how we're going to get there without the leadership that we need. And, you know, that's what's so distressing, is that under normal circumstances, no matter the political affiliation, the president would be the unifier-in-chief, so to speak, would be the one that makes those statements, that really talks about the importance of addressing hard problems and the importance of coming together, trying to quell the violence. But we don't have that. And so it really means that the, you know, the governor in Minnesota, the local leaders in Minnesota, and in all of the various places around the country where this is happening, they have to be very strong voices of unity and of, you know, not making things worse, you know, really trying to quell the unrest. And it's scary. It's scary to see this, because it is nobody benefits from this. And it's harmful to people, obviously, and it's certainly harmful to the very legitimate complaints and concerns that the peaceful protesters are trying to raise, because people get distracted by the violence and they ignore, hey, wait, remember, folks, remember what happened. Remember that this isn't the first time this has happened. This is perhaps more egregious than some others, in terms of, and we do have the video showing it, you know, someone lying on the ground, you know, not resisting, barely moving, and repeatedly saying he can't breathe, and you almost see the breath coming out of him. The last, you know, just, it's so distressing. And I don't want people to lose sight of that. You know, the local governments need to get a handle on this violence. And
without question.
You know, and they need to do that. They need to do that quickly, the longer this goes on. And they need to do it wisely. You know, and I've heard, I'm no expert on this, but I have heard some experts, you know, on the radio or whatever, talking about, you know, do this, don't do that, et cetera. And so there are some missteps. You come out in force right away with riot gear and whatever, and you're basically saying, you know, come at us. We're ready for a fight. And that doesn't seem to be the advisable way to do this. Not, again, I'm not the expert on that, but from what I have heard from other people who are in the law enforcement field, and I know there was one photo with an officer of some sort walking with the protesters, you know, and that sends a very different message than the, you know, we're out here, we're ready, we're gunning. So I think that we are, I'd like to say this is going to pass quickly and, you know, all will be well, but I know better. And this is to have the both of these horrible situations going on at the same time, the pandemic with its racial disparities and another killing of a black man, you know, by the state, you know, by the government, is I'm without words, Jay.
All right, listen, I'm with you. I'll take up your words. You know, first of all, you made a great point regarding COVID, you know, how some of the minority communities have not been centralized, so to speak, as far as the help that might be needed there by setting up those testing centers right away, by making sure the messaging is out there. We didn't do that in the beginning. And you know, as far as the state of Minnesota, you know, they have a terrible history as far as what's going on there. And they haven't really done a lot about it. We need reform. We need reform beyond belief right now in so many different areas. But I'll tell you, in that state, you know, you go back to the Philandra Castillo situation, Elaine, where you remember the individual who was shot in the car after a traffic stop. You know, you go back to the Quencher incident, going back into the mid-60s. It goes on. There's so many incidents in Minnesota. How about the Muhammad Noor situation? The unrest. This was an African-American police officer who had charges brought against him for shooting a white female. There was a burglary going on. This was a couple of years ago. There's been a lot of unrest. It was never, you know, never really, you know, taking the bull by the horn, so to speak. You have never seen a reform of any kind in that state. It has been one incident after another incident. And with what happened last Monday, I mean, my goodness, you know, we talk about leadership as well. Just complete lack thereof. You know, even to the point of charges on Friday by the county DA, and now, by the way, the state attorney general's involved, which should have been the right call from the get-go in Mr. Ellison over there. In essence, you know, all four of those officers should have been charged. Just the one, you know, Chauvin charged now. But all the three others, they were right there. And if you saw the angle of the video from the other side of the street, you could see that those other two police officers had a hand in all of this. So, you know, where are the charges? Why wait? This creates more problems as what we have seen over the weekend. Now, you can tell me about encrypted messages, separate groups, white supremacists kind of leading the charge here. That could be a whole nother story. We'll get into that at another time. But right now, it's about leadership. It's about doing the right thing. We have not seen that in the last 96 hours. We have not. Big problem. That's what you're seeing today.
And Jay, I'll just add, the other thing is, and the federal government has helped with this, the military, becoming the police department becoming more militarized, which has been helped by the federal government in terms of the kinds of equipment that they've put in the hands of the local police. And just a mindset that is, you know, that we don't need because it creates the kind, you know, the lack of relationship and communication, which should be the real focus in the local communities. So you get this buildup of animosity and lack of respect for the police departments, and then their actions just reinforce this. So it is also not a problem that is just limited to what happens when you have riots happening in the streets. It's really what have you been doing before that has left the communities of color feeling so alienated from their cities, certainly from the police, from the leadership. There's so much work that needs to be done that is preventative. And again, I hope that people aren't so short-sighted that they think, okay, as soon as we can get these people off the street, the ones that are committing the crime and the violence, you know, that everything will be fine. And, you know, it won't be fine until those police departments are totally overhauled, that the philosophy of policing needs to be overhauled. This is not local militaries in our communities. They should know the people, have relationships with the people, have things that help people feel a pride and a sense of connection and community. And that takes time, and it's not going to be overnight, and they have some damage control that has to be done because they've not done these things in the past. So now it's really a heavy lift to bring about the change. But that's what's needed.
I agree. And it's a culture. You know, I was asked about this all over the weekend. To me, it's a culture. And cultures, in order for them to be eradicated, you really have to start from the ground up again. And that's what has to be done. And listen, it's not kind of a mid-tear down here. It's getting to the root and trying to root out that stench. And there has been a stench in this country, folks, for a long time. And enough is enough. Enough is enough. It comes down to culture. Culture is key here. What you have seen in the state of Minnesota, that's been permeating for a long time. We're not talking a couple of years here from the Castilla incident back in 2016. You go back into the 60s, folks. Okay, you go back 50 years. This is emulating 50 years, five decades, and enough is enough. Leadership is key. It is so key right now. And that's why I say, whatever you think of the president of the NFL, he is still the commander-in-chief. He is still in charge of the greatest power in the world, the United States of America, and you got nothing out of him. Nothing out of him this weekend, outside of a couple of tweets fighting big tech in Twitter. That's not what you want to see. That's not what you want to see as your overall leader. You needed to see something. My goodness, I was mesmerized what I saw in Philadelphia yesterday. I could not believe what I was seeing on the streets of Philadelphia yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon, bright and sunny, Sunday in Philadelphia, Broad Street, okay? Unbelievable. And all I heard from the President of the United States was, we've got to stop what's happening in Philadelphia. Can you get to the airwaves of television, please? And let America know what in the heck is going on here and make a statement. I mean, between what he was doing, between what Walz was doing in Minnesota over the weekend with the flip-flops, it was like a ping-pong match. I couldn't believe it. Elaine, what can I tell you? We got to do a better job. And hopefully somebody gets this message and in their communities starts from ground zero, because we need a ground zero eradication in all phases of life right now. I'll give you the final word, my dear.
I just want to echo your thoughts about culture change, culture shift. I would just add accountability. And so you're absolutely right. Those other officers need to be charged. And we need to send, and nothing sends a better message than action. And so if it becomes clear that you are going to be punished when you engage in these activities, and that you can't be a bystander, that you're going to be punished too, I mean, that will help. That will help, along with the culture change, along with, you know, the sort of overhaul of what is policing and what should the relationship be with the community and all of that.
No question. Always great to have you on the show. In times like this, no better guest to lead a week off. We'll talk soon, my dear. How's that?
Okay. Thanks, Jay. You take care.